Okay, we are on page Kufnun Vav, which corresponds on the top numbers to 311. We are about 10 lines down. The first word in the line is abbreviation Masha Ein Kein. And in the English, it's the second paragraph of the performance of mitzvahs. This is, I don't know what they call this. This is, they call it simon, they call it perek, they just call it kuntras achron. And because they're not delineated inside, but every time there's a new chapter number, it's sort of like it's got a larger letter where it starts, larger word. So in English you call it essay, but the word doesn't exist in Hebrew. So we're in number four, and we're talking about why is it that in our days we daven, as opposed to the times of the Talmud, they learned. And really now what we're talking about at this point is the importance of actually doing, which kind of leads us into where we are now. Because 200 years ago, okay, people had time to sit and daven. It's always one of those amazing things. You read these stories of these Hasidim that are traveling around, and these people didn't make any money. These guys like were sitting and davening all whole day, you know. So people, especially in America, don't live like that. You know, so he says, Masha Ein Kein Maisa HaMitzvahs. Which is not the case. Now, when you're talking about the mice of the mitzvahs, the last thing he talked about was in davening. And it says that Hashem, Hareini Na Es Kvaidecha, Moshe said, show me your face and show me your glory. And Hashem responded, Lari Es Adam Es Panai V'chai, no one will see my face and live. Okay, so you're not going to get there by straight contact, which is not the case with the doing of a mitzvah, that Maisa Elokim Hema, that the performance of the mitzvah is considered an action of God. Meaning, we've talked about this before, it's talked about in the Mems, and in also chapter Nun, and it's talked about in some of the earlier chapters, the middle chapters of Agaras HaKadosh, that when a person does a mitzvah, and he mentioned it earlier, that a person does a mitzvah, so they're bypassing Seder Yisalshus, they're bypassing the creation process and connecting straight with the will of Hashem, and the will of Hashem is connecting straight with us down here as well. Hine b'derech Yisalshus mekelem d'atzilus libiyah mahusin v'atzmusin d'chetzoni is kemel derech mashal esrik. So it says it's coming down straight from the very essence. It's an external product of the keli of Atzilus as it's coming in. But the essence and being is still remains the same. So that, for example, he's going to say give example for an esrog. So what he's saying over here is so you have your tefillin, you have your esrog, you have your tzitzis, whatever it is, your physical thing that you're using for a mitzvah. So it's getting its life force straight from the lowest aspects of Atzilus, directly. Not having to go through Bri, Yetzirah, Siya. And he says, for example, an Esrog, Uminav. You got the Sukkos is coming up soon. Mm-hmm. And you have the Esrog and the Dalet Minim. So, Hilbish Bahan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mahusvas Musan, Dechasadim Pnimim Dezah. So, enclosed in the Esrog, and etc., because it is a positive commandment, so it is a vehicle for Hashem's chesed. So he said way back in chapter 4 that chesed is the root of all the positive commandments and gevura is the root of all the negative commandments, and explains a little bit how they are about loving Hashem and fearing Hashem. So it says now, so when a person does a mitzvah, they're drawing down the very essential inner expressions of Hashem's kindness. But it's still, what is it, chetzonius? Chetzonius sounds terrible. He just said it was the pnimius. It's the pnimius of the chetzonius, it's the chetzonius of the pnimius. It's, you know, is this a double talk? No. It says because the only thing, the word relatable, in this context, would be translated as chetzonid. Chetzonid doesn't mean tertiary or extraneous or outside, as it's normally traded, like the translated, like the klippa receives their life force from the chetzonius. That's not what he's talking about here. Here, the word, in order for you to be able to relate to something, what if that thing is it that you relate to, is the part that's relatable. If you use a very bad example of a cup, which I hate using the example of a cup to talk about the spheres and aris and kalim, because people say, oh, kalim, you can start thinking water and water, cups of water. It's not that at all. But the cup is divided into three parts. There's the inside of the cup, which that's for holding the contents. There's the cup itself, which that determines how much gets to be held. And then there's the outside of the cup, which is for you to hold on to it. That's the purpose of the outside of the cup. Okay? So here we're saying it's now. You're going to say, oh, it's the outside. It's not the real stuff that you want is on the inside. Okay, good. But in the meantime, you're not getting it into your mouth until you pick it up. So in order to make it relatable to you, we relate to the chitzainius. Okay, so he's saying that the mitzvah is, it's an esrog. You're connecting to the direct essence of Hashem's will, because it's a positive commandment, it's an expression of Hashem's love for us. And when we connect to it, what are we connecting to? You're holding on to an esrog. What's an esrog? An esrog is a piece of fruit. Okay, the week before Sukkot is a piece of fruit. The week after Sukkot is a piece of fruit. It's all it is. It's just a piece of fruit. But during that week of Sukkot, you're holding on to that piece of fruit and thereby connecting to Hashem's kindness. But you have to hold on to the fruit. And there's a very interesting thing about Lulav and Esrog. You don't have to do anything to be Yosei Lulav and Esrog. All you can do is hold it. I do this all the time. I go on Mitzrayim, on Sukkot, and I'll stop somebody and say, hey, you're Jewish? I say, yeah, you want to shake Lulav and Esrog? He says, no, I don't. Okay, it's not for me. Okay? So I say, okay, I understand. You're good. You're fine. And I said, if you don't mind, could you do me a second? Do me a favor. I have to tie my shoe. Could you just hold this 1 second? I bend down, I pretend to tie my shoe, and then I stand up and said, oh, by the way, usually, I can't take my thing back, by the way, you, just for good luck, as I'm taking, I kind of like shake my hands a little bit, just so, you know, get in there. By the way, you're just in the midst of Lulav and Esrog, have a nice day. You know, so.
Esrog's pointing up, right?
Yeah, you know, so. Yo, I handed it to him right, you know, so could you just, would you just mind holding this, please? Yeah, that's, you know. So he has to hold on to it. There has to be that external connection there. And then, guess what? He drew down the same godliness that I drew down when I said it in the morning after having gone to mikveh and putting on my gartel and remembering all those esrog and lulav maimarim that I learned way back when, and finally saying the bracha and getting so excited that I says, yes, I get to shake lulav and esrog, and in my sukkah, no less, and with the different nanuim and the different places that I'm shaking it to, he, as I'm shaking his hands, as I'm taking it out of his hand, is doing exactly the same mitzvah. Because the mitzvah is just to grab onto the thing. And thus, by grab onto the will of Hashem, because Hashem loves us. That's the way it works. The higher bookiness concerning kinetic behold mitzvahs mycius. And it's the same thing with every single positive command that involves a thing. Masha en kena od, which is not the case with the person. We can't just sit and get there from here. We can't meditate. It says lace machshava tefisa bay, no thought can grasp Hashem. Affiliation neshama d'atzilus. Even if you're talking about a neshama d'atzilus, you're talking about a patriarch, a maisha, a David, a navi. Mi'acha shemalubish beguf. Why? Because he's in a physical body. He's limited. He can't relate to the essence of Hashem. No physical body can relate to atzilus. Even a maisha with the shiny face as he came down from Har Sinai. Okay. Lo yachal imsoy benafsha lahasig moh. That we don't have the brain capacity to understand, even Moshe, to understand we don't have the capacity to understand the essence and being of the inner aspect of Hashem's kindness in Atzilus. Ki Atzilus hu b'chinas chaya b'klalus ha'olamos avia, shehu b'chinas makiv milamayla ve'enimus b'shus b'kli klal. Because comparably speaking, we have the three worlds of Bri, Yetzirah, and Asiya corresponding to thought, speech, and action. And this is talked about all over in Hasidus and the Sefer Kabbalah, that the Bina is in Bria, and the Midas are in Yetzirah, and the Malchus is in Asiya. And comparable to that, okay, so you're going to say the Yud is in Chochmah, the Yud which is Chochmah is in Atzilus. But if you're using the paradigm of Machshava, Dibur, or Maisa, the next step up from Machshava, Dibur, or Maisa is Ratzon. So they're going to say Ratzon is, by definition, Makiv. It's an encompassing power. It's totally and completely encompasses you. You want with your hand just as much as you want with your head. Okay? You put on a pair of nice kid gloves, fur-lined ones over there, and they just happen to fit real good, and they feel really nice. So your hand is what's experiencing that and sending messages back to the brain to say, this is a really good thing. Okay? So the example which is given about Ratzon is as soon as you want to move your hand, you move your hand. You don't have to think about it. And if you have to think about every step that you're going to take, you got serious problems. You don't think about it. Because you want to walk, you automatically start walking. Okay, so that's going to be then the deal, is when you're talking about our souls and compared to Atzilus. Atzilus is compared to Ratzon over here at this point. And it's only in this paradigm, because normally Atzilus is also part of the part of the Mimali. It corresponds usually to Chachma, which is the beginning. It's a potential, okay, but it's still internalized. The potential which is internal. But in this way, when you're talking about specifically Machshava, Dibur, Maisa, thought, speech, and action, so Atzilus is considered Makiv. We're in the parenthesis. We just finished the parenthesis. Ki'im, the line that starts in between the parenthesis. Mitziyasin al yidei dechil v'rechim ha'sichlin. And so you go back, you have to go back to the same way he says, which is not the case with a person, and even though he has a great and high soul, which is coming from Atzilus, he's not able to comprehend the essence and being of the inner aspect of Hashem's kindness, but he understands that there is such a thing. He understands, he doesn't get the mahus of Atzmosai, which is what the thing is, but in Matzias, he at least knows that it's there. And that he's smart enough for, and that comes through an intellectual fear and love. That he able to think and to meditate on those things, the relationship that he has with Hashem, to elicit at least a knowledge that he knows that he should be loving Hashem, which is what the word intellectual love and fear means. He understands that he should be in awe of Hashem. Okay, but he doesn't feel it. So that's called intellectual. And that it says that you can't see my face, you can see my back. That when it says that you'll see my back means it sounds like you're seeing Hashem's essence and being. Because he's saying mine, this is me, so it seems like Moshe or Rabbeinu was shown okay, the backside of Hashem's essence and being, though. Not his mitzvahs. Not that Hashem exists. He saw something of Hashem. And he answers that, well, that's prophecy. Okay, prophecy is called perception. It's not called understanding. It's not called seeing, really. Okay, it's called a chazaya, but it's not called ria. Chazaya means like a vision. And ria means to actually see. So that which they are able to see, I mean, for the most part, most prophet, every prophet except Moshe, their intellect had to turn off in order to have prophecy. They became comatose, they had an epileptic fit, they became catatonic, whatever, they fell asleep. Okay, and they woke up and they had this stuff going on in their head. Because the prophecy is not an intellectual experience, and intellect gets in the way. So for these people, they had to have their intellect turned off so that the prophecies could come in, because the prophecy is higher than that. Okay, so what Moshe saw when he said that, when Hashem showed him Hashem's Achorai, Hashem's achar. He's not showing his tachas, but he's showing him his backside. So it was an expression of prophecy, because you can't see Hashem. Hashem's not a thing. Hashem's, there's no corporeality there. Moshe had a perception of what really is Hashem. Not that there is Hashem. He got that already by the burning bush. By the burning bush, he didn't see a whole lot of godliness. He saw a bush that was burning and understood the Metzius, that there is such an entity called Hashem. That's what he got at the burning bush. That was the first time. So now, at this point, after the golden calf, when he says, oh, you're ready to do things you didn't normally do, good, I want to see you. So that's when he had his greatest revelation, when Hashem appeared to him prophetically. Not in a dream, but just prophecy. Moshe probably somehow also turned off his intellect to experience it, because Moshe's intellect, it says, no person can understand this. So Moshe, okay, so he's able to talk face to face to Hashem, but this stuff is also higher than his intellect. It also didn't make sense. So he says, specifically, it's prophecy. Shehu hispashes from the Shamais, Kemoshikosu Barai Mehamed, Parshas Mishpatim, this is Parshas Agashmis, excuse me, that what's prophecy? Prophecy is stripping away all the physicality. There were schools, way back when, there were schools. How to be a prophet. Okay. One of the most famous ones was Baruch. He was Shaya's teacher. Taught him how to be a prophet. And it was a pass-fail rate, and the pass-fit was that you had prophecy. And he had hundreds of students that went on to become Nevi'im. We don't know anything they said, because they didn't say anything that was relevant to us, but he had this very prominent one named Yeshaya. And he taught people what they needed to do, how to get out of their own limitations, that they should be able to experience prophecy. Like I said, you graduated when you achieve prophecy. Okay, so he taught them the various tricks of the trade. Not everybody passed. There are people that spent their whole lives learning how to be a prophet, never got it, because if Hashem didn't want to talk to him, he was going to say, you know, you got to. So, but he didn't. A person didn't have to go to prophecy school. It just sometimes it just came with, like Jeremiah with Yirmiyah. He was 10 years old when he had his first prophecy, and he didn't want to tell anybody. He's a 10-year-old kid. They're going to tell him, listen, you know, go tell the king he's going to get killed if he doesn't get his act together. You know, not exactly a good thing for a 10-year-old to convey, but since Hashem knows his customers. So Jeremiah spent 10 years in a lime pit because of that. Dahayna Tamlafi Shi'iyah Shar Lenivra Lahasig Klum B'mahusa Elokus. And the reason is because no creature can comprehend anything of what Hashem is. Shehu Abera B'li Hasaga. That Hashem is only thing that we can ascribe to Hashem is that he's a creator. And there's an expression in the Talmud that where you find Hashem's humility, where you find Hashem's greatness, there you find Hashem's humility. Meaning to say, if we can say, wow, Hashem is really great, that is a very low level of Hashem. That we recognize it as being great is very low. The Einzo Halbasha Utvisa Utvekas Amitis. This is not called truly understanding, truly grasping and connecting to the greatness of Hashem. Okay, so that's all by sitting and thinking. Masha Ein Kein HaEsrog Al Derech Mashal, which is not the case if you're holding on to an esrog or any other physical mitzvah. Chayoyse Nimshachav Nistalshem U'mahusa Chitzainiyas Dekelim Denukva Dezod De'atzilus. Its life force is drawn down through the processes from the very being of the external expression of the malchus of Zoh of Atzilus. Meaning that part of Atzilus which is relatable. And how is it relatable? Through the thing, which is an expression of Hashem's desire. Mm-hmm. If you're talking Atzilus, Atzilus is Ihu v'chayehochad, Ihu v'garmehochad. We talk about a great length in Siman 20 in Tanya in the Geras HaKodesh. So it is godliness. Because of the Eitz Chaim, Shekol HaPeres Hein Atzilus. It says in the Eitz Chaim that all fruit comes from Atzilus. Turning page. Ki lamed kalim de tzilus yarda libiya, because he said this also in Simon Chav, that the 30 kalim of Atzilus descend into biya. What are the 30 kalim of Atzilus? So you have every sphere has a beginning, a middle, and an end. The beginning relates to what's above it, where it's coming from. The middle defines what it is. And the end relates to what's coming next. Okay? So each one of those, beginning, middle, and end, of course, like everything else out there, has 10 spheres. So there are 10 spheres in the beginning, 10 spheres in the middle, and 10 spheres in the end. That's called and you add them all together, you get 30. Those are the 30 kalim of Malchus. What happens with the top, the beginning, the 30 kalim, the 10 kalim, the 10 spheres of the top of Malchus become the neshama of Bria, of the world of creation. The middle spheres become the neshama of the world of Yetzirah. And the bottom spheres become the neshama of the world of Asiya, of action. Okay? So we see then that since we're living in a world of action, and we're talking about an Eser, which is getting its life force directly from Atzilus, it's from that aspect of this which is relatable, which comes down and is now enclosed into the Esrog as it is a mitzvah. Not a week before, not a week after, specifically when it's a mitzvah. The 30 kalim of Atzilus, the 30 kalim of Malchus of Atzilus, are what's known as the ten utterances. Okay, but you just said there are 30 of them. But no, what is Malchus? Malchus is called many names, different books. Where does he talk about it? Simon Chafhei of Igeres HaKodesh. He talks about anger over there. And he goes into a whole arichos of and it's a Hashkacha Pratis. The letter must have been written before Shar Yechud V'Amuna, because lots of things are written in the letter that appear in Shar Yechud V'Amuna. If it would have been written after Shar Yechud V'Amuna, he just would have said, go look at Shar Yechud V'Amuna. So this... So the, 1 second. You're a little bit behind you, my march. Oh, yeah. So there's different names for these, the function of which we call Malchus. It's called, if you want to give it a proper name, it's called Adnai, one of the unerasable names. It's also called Shechina because it's Shochein, it dwells in it. It's called the Lower Mother. It's called Malchus, got a couple other names also, depending on in which context it's being taken. So since it is, and it's also called Dvar Havaya, which is the point I want to say over here. It's also called the speech of Hashem. And if you have something called the speech of Hashem, so you have something that Hashem spoke, you have the words. What are the words? The words are the 10 utterances by which the world was created. Through this now, Atzilus now, since you're grabbing this Esrog, so you have what is kindness of Atzilus being enclosed into what the Esrog is. So the Esrog now becomes that vehicle for conveying what kindness of Atzilus is. Ki akelim de atzilus nasa neshama ba'asiya shehu b'chinas alakus mamish. Because in this paradigm now, the external expression of the kelim of atzilus becomes the neshama of asiya. They become the highest before it. Tisha b'atzilus iu v'argamei huchad ha'maitzel v'hanetzel. Because in atzilus everything's alakus. The Or is Elikus, the Chayas is Elikus, the Kalim is Elikus, the external part of the Kalim is Elikus, and it's all one big thing over there. It's just Elikus. The Emanator, the Emanated, which means the Or and the Kalim. V'alyadehi slavshus mohusa neshama b'mohusa Kalim, the Nukva, the Asiyan is Hava Ha'asrik. And so what happens is you have this external expression of divine kindness in Atzilus. It encloses itself into the body of the Esrog, and then what comes out is that the Esrog is now able, since it is directly connected to this aspect of kindness of Hashem, it is now able to express the divine Ratzin of Hashem. So comes out from all this, when you're holding the Esrog and you shake it properly, so best to say that short, when you're grabbing that Esrog, you are grabbing Hashem. What do we say about thought? No thought can grasp Hashem. It doesn't say, there's lots of words we have with this. You could have said Masig, it doesn't comprehend him, or Maven, understand him. Okay, or Maskil, conceptualize. We have lots of words that we could have used to describe what it is you can't do with your intellect. And specifically, the statement of the Zohar is Tefisa, to grasp it. And we do have that word in English, to grasp a concept intellectually. And we use that as point of comparison, because what are you doing? You're grasping the Esrog with your hand. That you can grasp. And by doing so, you are grasping something you're not going to get intellectually. It's coming down straight from Hashem's essence in being to your essence in being. Masha Ein Kein Bekavana. Which is not the case when you're talking about sitting and thinking about the thing. You know, the kavanah is very important. It says in the Mishnah that we've learned it before, I think it's the Mishnah, that saying Shema without kavanah is like a body without a neshama. You've heard that, yeah? Okay? I think we've discussed that here before. Yeah. So, if that be the case, then so you're grabbing. So back up. My head's thinking too fast over here. The kavana ain't a typhus after yediyah aside. It's very important to have kavana, and it's like the neshama of the thing. But if you only have the kavana, or you're even thinking about justice, with the kavana, you're really not going to be able to grasp what the thing is in its very depth. How much of the myths, you're going to sit and think of and learn everything that's ever been written about the Esrog by anybody. Okay, how much are you going to understand? I'm not saying how much you're going to understand of the thing, but once you get it, and say, oh yeah, I get to all these books that they're trying to say about Esrog, how much you're really going to get? A very little bit. Because you're talking about trying to wrap your head around the divine concept, and our heads don't wrap around very well around divine concepts. We can understand that there's such a thing called an Esrog, but we haven't got a clue what we're doing with it. You shake it. You know, if it would be that the person would understand what's going on when they shake an Esrog, so this guy who said, no, I don't want to do this, and I gave it to him, wouldn't want to do it either. He would say, no, I'm not going to take the Esrog. Because I can see what's going on. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to get this whole godly thing going on, which I'm not interested in. Which, if he could see it, then he would be interested in.
The story from the Yom Kippur War, when the guy took a little of an Esrog out to the Sinai, and soldiers were tripping over themselves and lining up during the Sukkos, the war was still going on, to shake the little Esrog.
Sure.
When their lives were in danger, and they
felt
the sense.
No atheists in foxholes.
Right. They wanted to hold that Esrog.
Oh, yeah. You can know that there is such a thing. Everybody knows that there is such a thing called Hashem, but nobody knows what Hashem is. So it says now, so when you're learning the halacha, halacha is not the kavana. Halacha is the manual. What am I supposed to do with it? I got this piece of fruit. What am I supposed to do with it? I take a bite out of it. You know how many old ladies I had to stop from biting into my esrog in the course of 40 years? It happens probably once a year. Somebody says, oh, I'll take that. So, no, that's not what it's for. No. I mean, you ever have that happen to you? Some lady wants to just... it's a piece of fruit, you know? So they haven't got a clue. So now, that's the kavana is not what you're going to get. But if you're going to have the halacha is an expression of divine wisdom. Where'd the halacha come from? It's from Hashem. This is what will convey the will of Hashem. That's why when we learn today a mitzvah which we have no practical ability to perform, all the things having to do with karbanas and kings and prophets and sanhedrins, the vast majority of the mitzvahs. So it says, if you learn, a person who learns about offering up an oila, a burnt offering, and he understands the whole in and outs of what to do and how to do a burnt offering, is considered as though that person had brought a burnt offering. Because, okay, listen, Hashem knows that there's no such thing as a burnt offering. If you try to offer a burnt offering today, it's Chayav Koras. You know, Hashem knows this. So, but if a person's going to sit there and learn about it, so they're connecting to what Hashem wants to be done. Okay? No, there's a Durim. Oops. And it comes down into speech, into thought. And you can understand, you could say, you'll learn Shulchan Aruch, and you'll say, do you understand it? And you say, yeah, I know what to do. So you do understand it. So you put your head around what has to get done, which is what is conveying the will and wisdom of Hashem. Is the actual doing. The Kavana that gives it all chayas and all that stuff. So that's a neshama true, but if you have a neshama without a body, you got nothing. The kol shekein halaymed hasoid. And for sure, if a person is learning the esoteric meaning behind what it is that they're doing, then for sure they're connecting their brain to Hashem. Aval davka seidus hamitzvahs. But we're talking about specifically, we're not talking about sitting theory, we're talking about when a person does a mitzvah, this and this Kabbalistic thing happens. It's not worse than learning the halacha, on the contrary. Even though he doesn't understand what it is that's happening, but he knows that it's happening. So a person should be learning the Pri Eitz Chaim also, which Pri Eitz Chaim is called the Kabbalistic Shulchan Aruch. Masha Enkein, Beseder. Let's see, 1 second. Okay, we're going to stop here. We're right in the middle of the page. Last word on the line is Masha Enkein. And it's at the top of the page. This does not apply to study in the order of Stalshalus on the top of the page. To be continued.